men have inclination for studying history and many other mundane literature, stories, fiction, dramas, magazines, newspapers, etc. So let them be dovetailed with the transcendental service of the Lord, and all of them will turn to the topics relished by all devotees. The propaganda that the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activities, and that he is a dumb stone without any name and form, has encouraged people to become godless, faithless demons, and the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activity that only clear their path to hell instead of return them home back to Godhead. And there's a footnote. Even 50 years ago, the social structure of all Indians was so arranged that they would not read any literature that was not connected with the activities of the Lord. They would not play any drama not connected with the Lord. They would not organize a fair or ceremony not connected with the Lord. Nor would they visit a place that was not holy and sanctified by pastimes of the Lord. There, even the common man in the village would talk about Ramayana and Mahabharata, Gita and Bhagavatam, even from his very childhood. But by the influence of the age of Kali, they have been dragged to the civilization of the dogs and hogs, laboring for bread without any sense of transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from the history of the Pandavas with necessary politics and social activities, and yet Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be the Paramahansa Samhita, or the Vedic literature meant for the topmost transcendentalist, and it describes Param Jnana, the highest transcendental knowledge. Pure devotees of the Lord are all Paramahansas, and they are like the swans who know the art of sucking milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Om Jnanatimanandasya Jnanandana Salakya Sakshura Militam Yenatrasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktivin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the essence to hear Krishna Katha and to avoid hearing mundane topics, then automatically everything will develop, because the ninefold process of devotional service begins with bhakti, with sravana, with hearing. Sometimes it is said that these nine processes, that each one of them can be performed separately. Other times it is said that one will automatically lead to the next, just as hearing about the Lord, sravana, will lead to glorifying the Lord. And hearing and chanting, or hearing and glorifying the Lord, sravanam kirtanam, will automatically lead to remembrance of the Lord. Like when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam or we read Srimad Bhagavatam, then throughout the day, suddenly some thoughts related to Bhagavatam may come into our head. Or in general, our outlook changes. We begin to see the world through the Bhagavatam. Instead of seeing the world through the newspapers, the times are really bad, disaster, misery, because that's what newspapers are. We see everything is so auspicious. Krishna's mercy is flooding the whole world. And oh yes, there is also something like a little Kali Yuga. I once came to Karoli in Rajasthan, where these days the deities of Sanatana Goswami, Madan Mohan, can be found. And it was very nice, a nice darshan. And especially there was a very nice pujari, he offered me a full plate of Mahaprasad. So that was, it's very nice when you come to a temple and you get welcomed like that. And then I was talking with him and I said, yes, you are so fortunate to stay in such a nice holy place where the entire atmosphere is so transcendental, so different from the rest of the world where Kali Yuga is really rampant. And I was thinking, yes, yes, we know and he doesn't, right? And in a sense that is true. There are so many things going on here in Melbourne that that pujari in Karoli has no idea about. He's never seen such things. So yes, if you want to know what degradation is all about, just come to these big cities. So I said to him, Kali Yuga, you know, yes, you are so fortunate to be in such a holy place. You don't really, you know, get confronted with Kali Yuga so much. And then he said, oh, Kali Yuga. He said, Kali Yuga. He said, there are 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma. And for Brahma, it is just like clouds passing in the sky. So he put it in a bigger time frame, and then suddenly Kali Yuga became completely insignificant. Because, you know, sometimes instead of Krishna Kata, we have Kali Yuga Kata, you know, oh, Kali Yuga, you know, really bad Kali Yuga, oh, Kali Yuga. In Johannesburg, we used to have a temple in an area called Hillbrow, and then at one point that became a heavy ghetto, and there was shooting in the daylight. And around the corner or from the temple, there was a bar called Kali Yuga. It was written with a C, but you know, Kali Yuga. Serious, yeah. I never went inside, but I think I could figure out what was going on there. So Kali Yuga is everywhere, but we don't worry about Kali Yuga, because the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is flooding the entire planet. It is everywhere, penetrating invisibly into the life of so many people. They don't know. I also didn't know. I didn't know when George Harrison was singing My Sweet Lord. I sang along. Thought, nice song. Hare Krishna. Yes, I didn't know that it was dangerous to chant Hare Krishna. I didn't know. Somehow or other, all these things, invisibly, the mercy is everywhere and anywhere. Anywhere. It is said that when Krishna and Balaram are in the forest and they are picnicking, that all the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and the demigods, they take the form of birds to eat the crumbs. And they eat the crumbs. So, like that, so much. And here in Melbourne, right, the pigeons are just not ordinary pigeons, they are very fat pigeons. And they eat more than crumbs. They get so many remnants. I mean, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are eager for these remnants. Who knows who these pigeons are? Yes. So, amazing things. And just this movement, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is spreading everywhere. And the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is based on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is offering us so much Krishna Katha. And then the acharyas, like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they write on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami wrote a book called Gopal Champu, which is basically a commentary on verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I was reading how Uddhava came to Vrindavan. And then when Uddhava came to Nanda and Yasoda, then Nanda began to inquire from Uddhava about Krishna. And immediately, Nanda Maharaj became carried away. As soon as he said the name Krishna, he remembered so many things and he started to describe all these wonderful qualities of Krishna. And Mother Yasoda, when she heard all these descriptions by Nanda Maharaj, then tears just started to stream from her eyes and milk started to stream from her breast. And when Uddhava saw her, he thought, she's going to become a river. Like this. How nice, you know. You hear all these things, you read all these things, and it's very sweet. Mother Yasoda is going to become a river. Just see these nice descriptions. And I kept reading in the same chapter, and then it said that in Vaikuntha, Krishna is even more beautiful than Lakshmi. The beauty of Krishna
exalts everyone in Vaikuntha. He said, but in Golok, in Gokul, there the residents want to see that Srimati Radharani is more beautiful than Krishna. Such refined things about the nature of the spiritual world. Why do they want to see? Because the beauty of Radharani gives pleasure to Krishna. Just as, like, there was an example of a lady, and the lady was engaged and she was going to marry Jack, right? And then later on, it changed and she was going to marry Bill. And one friend said, I thought you were going to marry Jack and now it's Bill. How come? She said, well, when I'm with Jack, you know. Oh, she said, why? I thought Jack was the most wonderful man in the world. She said, yes, Jack is the most wonderful man in the world. But when I'm with Bill, he makes me feel that I am the most wonderful woman in the world. That's why she was marrying Bill. So in the same way, we see in the spiritual world, the residents of Vrindavan want to see Srimati Radharani more beautiful than Krishna, because Krishna looks at Radharani, and that is most pleasing to him. So, therefore, in Gokul, we're looking for the maximum pleasure of Krishna. In Vaikuntha, we're looking at the unlimited opulences of Krishna. He is obviously the most beautiful because he's the Supreme Lord. He's unlimited. See, God is great. He's the greatest. Yes. No. Radharani is greater. She is more powerful, more beautiful, because Krishna likes it that way. He likes it that way. It gives more pleasure to Krishna that way. So how nice is this movement which centers on the pleasure of the Supreme Lord? Where do you find this? So the quality of Lord Chaitanya's movement is conquering the entire three worlds. Because nowhere do we find any such qualities. When in Mayapur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he chose his place of worship in the Dham. And he said, this Sridhar Mayapur is a Gupta Vrindavan, it's a hidden Vrindavan. And in this Mayapur, Vrindavan is present. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta identified two ponds of water and said, these are Radhakund and Shyamakund. And he made his place of worship there, and eventually that became the place of his headquarters. And he made a temple and installed the deities of Gandharvika, Giridhari, Radha Krishna. And then what he did is, on four sides of the temple, he placed the acharyas of the different sampradayas, of the different bona fide sampradayas. And he arranged that daily these acharyas would get Mahaprasadam of the deity. And he would invite representatives of these different, of the Sri Sampradaya and of the Mantva Sampradaya to Sridhar Mayapur. He made arrangements to translate the writings of Madhva Acharya in Bengali so that we could appreciate our connection with Madhva. And at the same time, he was appreciating Ramanuja Acharya. But he also said that in the future, all these sampradayas will be united in one at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the Sankirtan movement will gain strength, it is said that when the yugas are changing, that first there is a sandhya, a joint period. The sandhya, that means where it joins, the joint. So the first part of the Kali Yuga is the sandhya period, the joint period. And it is within that sandhya that the golden age of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will begin. And it is within that sandhya that there will be a 10,000 year period where the golden age will be manifest. It's described in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is a description where Ganga meets Krishna. And when Ganga meets Krishna, then Krishna says that in the beginning, in the age of Kali, he said, people will bathe in your waters and get purified. And then Ganga was quiet. And she had two questions. And these two questions were, one is, what about all those sinful activities that will be deposited in my waters? How am I going to deal with that? You know, I mean, Kali Yuga is no joke, right? And if I get all these sins of all these people, then how will I survive? And the second thing is, you said in the beginning of the age of Kali, so then after that beginning, what will happen to me? And Ganga was thinking, all these sinful activities will basically destroy me, and then I will no longer be there. It sounded like that. So then Krishna said, then a golden age will begin, and all the people will be purified by Harinam Sankirtan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear in this world, and he will bathe in your waters personally, and purify these waters from all the sins that have been deposited by all these residents of Kali Yuga, and your water will become saturated with Krishna prema. So in this way, Ganga was getting excited. In this golden age, what is it like? And then the Lord said, in this golden age, there will be no longer the different varnas, the different classes of men. There will be ekavarna, ekavarna haribhakta. There will be only one class of men, devotees of the Lord. Oh. So, basically, sometimes we think when the golden age comes, then Krishna consciousness will become the predominant world religion in every country. People will be wearing tilak, and on every corner, instead of churches and mosques, there will be temples. And everyone will pray in the Krishna temples. I don't know. Is it going to be like that? Or is it going to be even more transcendental? Is it going to be ekavarna haribhakta? And is it just going to be totally ecstatic? And is it just someone in the morning walks out of the house with a mridanga, and someone else sees, hey, what's that? Grabs the cartels, and suddenly a spontaneous harinam comes, and another sees the harinam and thinks, wait a minute, we have a rath cart. And they bring the rath cart. And then there's Ratiyatra. Some ladies see that. Look at that, a Ratiyatra. Okay, let's start cooking. And before you know it, you know, the pakoras are coming in. And like that. And it's like the whole thing is just happening. And the whole town of Melbourne is just getting into it. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, far out. And the demigods, they adjust the weather, and everything is perfect and wonderful. And it's all beautiful. And like, you know, and then you see Aniruddha's great-grandchildren, you know, rolling in Albert Park in ecstasy, you know, with hair standing on end. Why not? Yeah? All these things are possible, yes. We have no idea what this golden age will be like. That's really my point. I'm just thinking of how it could be, and probably, most likely, it's going to be something even more extraordinary than all of us can think of together. That golden age will be something else. And it's already started, and it's already beginning, it's already happening, the mercy is already penetrating everywhere. Now we laugh at Kali Yuga. Now, you know, Kali is already defeated in the Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak. There is Lord Chaitanya. He is seated on a golden throne on the altar in the house of Srivas. He is being worshipped by his devotees. Kali and sin personified are in the background. talking about it. And Sin says, look, look, look at this. You know, we have to do something.
Kali
says, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Sin said, no problem. He's being worshipped. He's being worshipped. He will get pride. He will get proud, and then we can corrupt him. Says, Kali said, forget it, Sin. Forget it. It's no use at all. Oh no. But there are women. There are women. And they adore him. Kali says, Sin, cut it out, will you? You know, just give me a break, you know. I mean, back off, you know. And Sin just keeps on trying to bring up different things, but to no avail. Kali knows his days are counted. The game is over. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot be stopped. His mercy is just flooding the three worlds. It's happening everywhere. And when I say the three worlds, have you heard of abductions? Have you heard of UFOs? Have you heard that they are here watching what we are doing? If that's the case, I'm sure that on their antennas by now, they've picked up the Maha Mantra. And that's why I'm quite sure that the latest vehicles in the Sankirtan fleets of Mahaprabhu are UFOs. And even on other planets, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's movement is reaching, whether it comes through UFOs or through devotees, everywhere, the mercy of Mahaprabhu now is reaching. And it is carried from person to person, from one to another. And when kings will take it, when governments will take it, oh, then it goes very quick, very quick. When suddenly all the schools become Krishna conscious. We see this movement, we see it's mushrooming, you know, everywhere, mushrooms pop out of the ground, right? This movement is like that. At the moment we see this development in England where you get all these government-funded Hindu schools, and more are coming up, and they come up really fast. Government's paying, and everything is there, and the teachers are initiated devotees. And Bhagavad Gita is part of the curriculum. And there are deities in the school, and in the morning, the kids assemble in school, and they have Guru Puja for Prabhupada. And there are also deities of Radha and Krishna in the school. So they have Darshan, Guru Puja, in school. And then the teachers are devotees. And then Bhagavad Gita, because it is part of the bylaws of the school that the Gita has to be taught as a curriculum. But it's very hard to find teachers who know the Gita other than devotees. So it's all the devotees who get teaching degrees now who become the teachers in this school. It's a scam. And the scam of Lord Chaitanya. And it works great. You know, the mercy is going out. So like this, everywhere, the mercy is penetrating in different ways, in ways we never thought of. Who ever thought in the 80s, we never thought, in the 70s, 80s, we never thought that there would be so many devotees in the Soviet Union, in the CIS. We thought that it's not possible. Devotees were being prosecuted. Horrible things were happening. But somehow or other, it changed. And it changed under the rule of one president in Russia. And his name was Gorbachev. Can you imagine his whole life? Gorbachev. Whatever Russians say, you know. But Gorbachev, right? So no wonder it was him, you know. No wonder it was him who dismantled
the system. Because it's a fact that, you know, once we have a devotee in a very prominent position in the Netherlands who was very wealthy at one point, and he was having a lunch with Gorbachev, right? And when he had his lunch, he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, I want to really thank you. I really want to thank you for what you did, you know, that you actually dismantled, right, dismantled the whole system." And Gorbachev was amazed. He said, "You understood, actually." He said, "People think that I was forced, that I was forced to do it." He said, "But that was not the case." He said, "I chose to dismantle it, you know. Somehow or other," he said, I thought it was the best for the nation. And then I took that decision to dismantle that system." He said, "I didn't have to do it. People think I had to do it. I chose." Yes, he chose for it, but he was forced after all by the Supreme Lord. Gore, gore, gore. You cannot hear gore endlessly and not become influenced, see. He had to do something to bestow mercy upon the devotees and release them from that suffering. And he did. And for that he gets eternal credits for letting devotees out. Just a name blessed, you know. In New Zealand you have places like Rama Rama. You know, where you live, Rama Rama. Rama, it's just there, Rama Rama. Imagine you take birth in Rama Rama. There you go, all day long, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. You hear it all day long, Rama Rama. And what blessings. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is everywhere, it's penetrating. Prasadam is everywhere. You know, at one point in Germany, the Hare Krishna movement went into a different phase. It had been in the brahmachari stage. Heidelberg had been like the headquarters with a temple filled with brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, sankirtan, 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 sankirtan. And then, you know, times changed and they fell in love and, you know, then they moved out of the city and bought a farm project and got houses in the village nearby, and no one was staying in the temple in Heidelberg anymore, and they decided, you know, to just close it and go for something small. So there was also a restaurant in the temple, and they closed the restaurant also. I was there for the last Sunday feast, and it was a little awkward because we had this big, big kirtan, and at the end, the temple president announced, "Next week there will be no Sunday feast." Okay, it happens sometimes. And then he said, "Because there will be no more temple." And everyone thought, this is black humor. This is a weird joke, but it wasn't. There really was no more temple and no more restaurant. So from one day to the next, no more restaurant. Prasadam edicts, you know what I mean? Cold turkey. Yeah? Nothing anymore, you know? No more prasadam. It was extreme. And then 7 years later, the devotees opened a small storefront with a counter with prasadam. And one by one, all these people staggered into the shop like, you know, like people who had stranded in the desert, you know. And somehow they staggered and they found the shop. Don't ask me how. They smelled it. They found it. They somehow or another walked in and said, "Do you have any of that food?" Lord Chaitanya's movement is penetrating everywhere, touching so many people day by day, whether they want it or not. And once touched by the Lord's movement, then devotional service starts and it will continue. It will spread. And we are so worried, oh, it's so difficult, how will I ever become a devotee? Don't worry, you can't escape, too late. Even if you try to run away, Krishna will be there with you. Wherever you go, too late now. You came too close. Ha ha.
Lord Chaitanya's mercy is touched. Now we are, a devotee is rasa-graha. It is said rasa-graha, one who has tasted
the higher, he has a higher taste. So once we are rasa-graha, once we have a higher taste, we can never be satisfied with the ordinary, mundane pleasures that people are hankering for. Dinner is this all, you know. Not very meaningful. So Krishna consciousness, it has so much depth. And then the more we become absorbed in hearing about Krishna, the more we find out about Krishna, the more amazing it is, the more wonderful it is. So many wonderful details. Yes. Like I was saying, this Mother Yasoda becomes a river. I mean, Lord Chaitanya also, it said that it was Snan Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Usually the queens, they had the best place on the roof of a building very close. But this year the king decided to give it to the associates of Lord Chaitanya. Oh, the queens were upset. But anyway, they got the second best roof, right? But then when the festival began to happen, they forgot everything. They forgot everything. They didn't mind that they were on the second best roof, because what they saw was amazing. Lord Jagannath, they were bathing Lord Jagannath, and the water drops were bouncing off the body of the Lord in all directions. It was just amazing. But the most amazing thing was when Lord Chaitanya, who was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, that was more amazing, because there was more water coming from Lord Chaitanya than from Lord Jagannath, from the tears that were shooting out of his eyes. And there was a stream that was bigger than the stream of water coming from Lord Jagannath, who was being bathed by many devotees with so much water. I said, and where is all that water coming from? How amazing all these things. How amazing. The more it is said like that, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichara Vichara Karita Chitta Bhava Chamatka. If we just focus on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then what will happen is our heart will become overwhelmed by feelings of amazement. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was with this new devotee, brand new bhakti. He had just joined 3 days or something like that. And we're going to a program, and somehow or other we went with the bus, and we stood at the bus stop, and some junkie came. Wanting some money. And you know, I don't give junkies money, so doing an Indian thing, you know. You don't look at the beggar and you move your hand, right? Mahatma knows it also. You get rid of them like that and you point at someone else, you know, go there. They all say, send to someone else, you know. You point at somebody who looks rich in effect. Go there. So, and that way you get rid of the beggar. So I got rid of him. And then the new bhakta called him back. And he says, stop, come back. Said, oh my God. I'm traveling with a new bhakta today. And he comes back. And then the new bhakta says, I've got something for you. Right? The beggar, the junkie, he comes. And the new bhakta, he says, he pulls out a piece of apple from breakfast, you know, totally brown, right? He holds it up in the air and he says, look, prasadam! And, you know, with so much conviction that the junkie's mouth fell open, you know. I'm not sure. He said, open your mouth. I'm not sure if the junkie was just astonished. But he did. But he did open his mouth. And the bhakta just popped the apple into his mouth and gave him human birth. And his spirit in the next life. And his spiritual life began. I said, wow, what a movement. We should advertise like that, you know. I mean, yeah, some groups, they advertise, you do this meditation, you start levitating,
And we can advertise, you know, 3 days bhakti yoga and you can give out human life. Like that. What power this woman has is amazing. That little brown piece of apple, that goes a long way, a long way. Srila Prabhupada is saying that, you know, we don't need microphone. In one lecture, he says, we don't need microphone. He says, you know,
we don't need microphone at all. We just use the microphone to purify the microphone maker.
So that, when I read that, or when I heard that, then I was thinking, this is amazing. Because the microphone maker, you know, there are so many things that we use, right? Tape recorders, microphone makers, cars, so many things, the screws in the door, all these things are used for Krishna's purpose. And you just imagine, someone stands on a conveyor belt and just every day, you know, thousands of microphones go past on the same gesture. And there comes the one that goes to the Hare Krishna temple. Whoop! And same gesture. And suddenly, so much mercy. Suddenly, spiritual life has begun. Mercy has started. Just like that. Can you imagine? And I was just thinking, when our little Hare Krishna kids are riding around on their tricycles, they are purifying the three worlds. Just think about it like that. So much mercy. So mercy, this is such a mercy movement. Of course, we have to take it serious. We have to take it serious. I'll tell you a newspaper article, you know. The 27-year-old Nico T, right, was attacked in broad daylight, right there, in Swanston Street, by a camel. The thing came out of nowhere and jumped right into his mouth, you know, and then went up into smoke, leaving Nico T as a victim. The camel just jumped in his mouth, just see. No. A devotee has to take responsibility. We have to take responsibility for what we do wrong and correct it. We can't just say these things are happening to me. Okay, the camel just jumped into our mouth. Yeah. You bought the package, didn't you? And the matches. We have to take responsibility for what we do wrong and correct it. Not just saying, all these things are happening to me, what can I do? I mean, I'm trying so much, but it's just not working, you know, it's out of control. No, it's not out of control. You are out of control. You know, take responsibility. When you say, it's out of control, my life is out of control. No, it's not your life that is out of control. You are out of control. You see the point? It's like we just shift the responsibility away from ourselves. My life is out of control. It's out of control. Kali Yuga is out of control. Everything is out of control. What can I do? And nothing I can do. It's all out of control. If things were more under control, then I would chant Hare Krishna. Then I would. I would. I want to be a devotee. I really want to. If it was more under control. But everything is out of control. No. You are. Nothing is out of control except you. You're out of control. And begin to get yourself under control. Maybe not conquer everything within one day. But do something. Do something. Start to do some things you can do. And some people lament about what they can't do. I really want to chant 16 rounds, but I can't chant 16 rounds. I wish I could chant 16 rounds. And they lament all the time like that. Yeah. It's okay, do what you can. Do what you can. First, start doing what you can. What can you do? Can you do some service? Can you clean? Okay, clean. Can you wash pots? Come and wash pots. You know, wash 16 pots. So do what you can, and then, after washing 16 pots for a while, then try again, and you can chant 16 rounds, you know, like that. You know, it works like this. You just do the things you can and get purified by those things, and then after a while you can start doing things you couldn't do before, and like that. Take responsibility for what we're not doing and correct it, you know. Correct it. Step by step, correct things. Don't do it again. Stop it. Correct it. And how can I stop smoking? By stopping. I mean, how else, you know? I really try to stop smoking. Yeah. Well, you know, stop, right? You know, when you drive a car, touch the brakes, right? Push the brakes and stop, you know. Stop! You know, knock over the car. No, slam the brakes and stop, right? It's like that. We have to. So, but we're not used to take responsibility, and we have excuses, millions of excuses. It's my mom, it's my dad, you know, it's because of them that I'm doing these things. Yeah. My brother, my big brother, you know, what he did to me, and therefore now I'm doing all this nonsense. Endless excuses to justify to shift the responsibility away. So we must take responsibility. Because Harikatha is not just like, an automatic thing. You know, like sometimes in India, people take it like that. You have these pandits, they give, some of them give very dry lectures. And you're like, it sounds like the door that's squeaking. Everyone is deep asleep, you know. Like, shit. Oh, God. But they go anyway. Normally, satsang is religious. We must do this. We must go through this religious thing. This is very painful, but we must do it. So, like this, you know. Yes. So, they take it that you just do these things and then you get the blessings. You get the blessings. Some automatic ritual and you get the blessing. No! It's not like that. If through this hearing we get knowledge, and then we have to make arrangements to change. Us. We have to do that. Yeah, that's how it is. We have to ourselves change and say, oh, I cannot change. Who says you cannot change? You changed a lot so far. Yeah. You changed. You can change, but you have to change in a certain direction, in the direction of Krishna, and we'd rather change in the direction of Maya. So one has to take responsibility with intelligence. Tadami Buri Yogam Tam, Krishna said, I give you intelligence. How does he give it to us? By speaking to Arjuna, his devotee. Arjuna is saying, Govindanayutsavaha, the bow Gandiva is gliding from his hand, he's all depressed. Krishna says, Asojanam Vasojastam Pagyavanamstavasase, this is not becoming you. You know, a man of your position to lament so much, you should have knowledge. What happened to you, Arjuna? Arjuna has become covered over so that Krishna could instruct him so that we could learn the lesson. Arjuna, Krishna. It is said the mother teaches the daughter-in-law through her own daughter. She's in front of the daughter-in-law, she's saying to her daughter, why are you always putting it like there? That is not right. Daughter-in-law heard it. Okay. Now she can also start doing it. Because it's a little sensitive to deal with these daughter-in-laws directly. So she instructs to her own daughter. So in the same way, Krishna instructs through his devotees. And all these devotees in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, they are teaching us. And what it means? That we must take responsibility for our own life and make the changes. Not wait till it's going to happen.
One bank director told me in Jaipur, he told me, yes, I'm completely surrendered. Krishna is in control. Whatever he makes me do, he will make me do. Now he makes me to be a bank director in the future. If he makes me to be devotee like you, I'll be devotee like you. I am surrendered. Whatever he makes me do. No, wait a minute. You twisted the philosophy. Wait a minute. You've just taken out your independence. And you're just saying, I'm a puppet in the hands of Krishna. No. You have a choice. You have to choose. Take charge of your life. And then you'll be a devotee. Otherwise, I'm waiting till I wake up and I feel like a devotee. That may be a long time. First you have to join the devotees, and first you have to sort of start practicing, and then one day you may wake up with a heart full of devotion. It doesn't come all at once. So this is an important point. The Krishna Katha is not just an automatic blessing, but that from it we have to take a lesson and then apply that. So this sense of our responsibility must be there. Okay, now I will, in conclusion, I will say, and don't worry, Krishna says, Sarvadharma Parityayamam Kamsanam Raja Antal Sarvapadevi Mokshasyam Matsuchaha. He says, just surrender unto me, I will deliver you from all the reactions of sinful activities. So you'll become purified as you surrender unto me. And then everything becomes easier. Masuchaha. Don't worry. Or no worries, right? Krishna says at the end. No worries. Right. It's the Australian translation of the Bhagavad Gita is the 18th chapter. No worries, right? She'll be right. Just surrender unto Krishna. And everything will be fine. He'll take care of us. So let's go forward. We're not alone in this. But what if I surrender to Krishna and then I give up my material life? And then I don't get the ecstasy. In the Netherlands we call this, you fall between the shore and the ship. You know, you're not on the shore and you're not on the ship. A dangerous position. You get neither. What if I give up my material security for Krishna, and then I don't get spiritual ecstasy and all that, and then I've lost everything. I don't have my material security, and I also don't have the higher material things. No. Better I stay safe where I am in my material situation, and hold on tight to everything, and then do little seva, little prayer, little something to get some blessings. No. That's not the Gita. The Gita is change your life, Krishna says. Change it. And don't worry. I will take care of you. If you change your life. First change. So yes, Harikatha is like that. After hearing about Krishna and from Krishna, after hearing Krishna Upadesh, it must lead to change. A change in our life. That's the idea. Thank you so much. Now, any questions or comments? Yes.
The greatest impediments that could check our progress is the offenses, which even if we do not intend to commit, particularly Vaishnava Aparadha, it just happens accidentally at times. How do we prevent that? How do we also not let it disturb us our progress? There's a fear that our progress
has
been checked.
I've got your question. I'll do a dramatic performance. Oh God, I'm so offensive. Oh no. Oh God, I'm making offense the whole day. I'm just making offenses. I'm making offenses. Fence.
offenses, because it's the worst thing. Offenses can destroy everything. Please, Prabhu, forgive me for my offenses. You know, I breathed in your direction. There may be some germs inside. Can you please forgive me? Please. No, I mean it. Please. Say it. Please. No, say, yes, I... Say, yes, I forgive you for those germs, please.
Yes.
Such a relief. Oh, God. Anyway, so this is over the top, you know. So some people go over the top. But it is a fact that we worried about our material desires, but they will go away very, very quickly. But what will delay it is offenses that we can, that we make in the course of devotional service. That doesn't mean that when you're in the kitchen, you know, and someone is like, you pass on a pot with some preparation and the klutz, you know, just like drops it on the floor and you go, you klutz, you know, how dare you call a Vaishnava klutz, you know. Seven lifetimes in hell. It's not like that. That's not an offense. Just that's just normal loving exchange, you know. I mean, you know, you call someone klutz when he drops a pot of something. He's klutz. and when your wife, you know, calls you sweet names, you know what I'm saying, as they sometimes do, right? You know, when things get exciting, then it's not that she commits the Vaishnava aparad. That's just that's just what husband and wives do. You know, they say these things to each other, right? And it's normal, right? And there are fights, and it's not like that. Then in the middle of your fight, you turn around and say, you've committed a great Vaishnava. The ultimate weapon. It's like my former wife was great with slokas in the middle of a fight. It was amazing. She would quote from scripture left and right. Otherwise, never. But in the middle. It's like that, these things, right? So that's all just normal human exchange. But when the envy comes in, yes, and when we really feel like, you know, this guy, he is nothing. He's just a crumb. He's not even a devotee, you know what I mean? He's not even a shadow of a devotee, you know? He's just one big boil full of pus and fuel. Yeah. Stew and all that, like abominable activities. Like if we start to speak to about the Vaishnava like that, yeah, well, then we're inviting a few thunderbolts on our head, and Krishna may just temporarily withdraw some mercy from us, and it may take a little longer. So offenses are to be avoided, absolutely. But not in a mood of total paranoia. Yeah. So, in a balanced way. But basically, all the offenses are telling us we must be respectful. Respectful to the Vaishnavas, respectful to the scriptures. It is just with a respectful attitude, it's fine. Some humility, respectful, giving respect, hearing the instructions of the Vaishnavas, of Krishna, of the scriptures, and that will do. But your point is well taken. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Maharaj, when Prabhupada speaks about the foolish class of men who don't accept the Puranas, the Bhagavad Gita, as the fifth Veda, who is he speaking about?
Sure, yes. The impersonalists, they are only accepting the four Vedas, at least. Sankaracharya did. But then, the funny thing is, they accept the Upanishads. And the Chandogya Upanishads establishes the Puranas and the Itihas as Panchaman Veda, as the fifth Veda. It's clearly stated in Chandogya Upanishad. So in the scriptures, they accept as authority.
It is established. So when Jiva Goswami begins to write Sandarbhas as an analysis and a commentary of Bhagavatam, he writes it in parts. And the first part is the Bhagavat Sandarbha. And in the first part he gives the evidence with various verses to establish that actually it is bona fide Veda, that it is the fifth Veda. So if you really want to read that evidence, you can read the Bhagavat Sandarbha. The BBT will publish it very soon, actually, because posthumously the work of Gopi Paramadana is soon ready for publication, and the Bhagavat Sandarbha will come. So then you can buy that book, and you can read it yourself. Or otherwise, you can Google it and you will find it, fifth Veda, no problem. Chandogya Upanishad. Like that, everybody knows a little piece of the puzzle. They know a few things of the Veda, you know, a few words, and they act as if they are big authorities on the Vedas. But the truth is, they haven't understood the true meaning of the Vedas at the feet of a bona fide spiritual master. So therefore one should always remain at the feet of the spiritual master. Then we will understand. So such fools are not taking shelter of a spiritual master. And it is said that one who is accepting himself as his own spiritual master accepts a fool for a spiritual master. Think about that. Anyone else? Yes.
On the topic of the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, you said that everybody will be a devotee and the consciousness will spread everywhere. Why doesn't it then put an end to Kali Yuga and people, back after the end of the golden age, people revert back to their Tripura?
Yes. Why at the end of the 10,000 year golden age do people revert back to sinful activities and Kali Yuga becomes again prominent? Because we need Kali Yuga. We need Kali Yuga. These yugas are there for the conditioned souls, and conditioned souls are independent. So it is the age where people can just be animalistic. So, you know, you can let it all out. Yeah? All right. So they need some time. It's just like a horse, you know, you want to tame a horse. A horse is a horse. It's a huge, powerful animal with huge muscles. A horse has to run. There's no good. You cannot hold the horse tight all the time. You're scared of horse riding. So you're sitting on this horse and you hold the reins very tightly. The horse has to step. It's not gonna work. You have to let the horse go for a while and let it run. So Krishna knows, you know, the living beings are sinful, they want to be sinful. All right, I give you some time now. Now you be sinful. Go for it. Just go for it. Let go. And then pull on the reins again. Pull them tight again. And just get these living beings again in a regulated system of purification. And then the obstinate ones, certain horses, the wild horses, all right, let them run a little in Kali Yuga. Right. So we are the wild horses who are taking birth in Kali Yuga. Let them run the sinful activities a bit. And then after 10 years, okay, give them free rein for a while, you know, and they go for it. And parents will eat their children, and children will eat their parents, whoever, you gotta be quick. That's for sure. You know, you can imagine you get the Bhakta program and someone falls out, one Brahmachari falls down, and you go, who took that bite out of that shoulder? It's going to be great times. So at one point, Kalki. Who else? Yeah.
Just a quick question. As you mentioned about
Yes, the spiritual master takes responsibility for us, and his prayer is with us. Right? So, you know, you're not just judged at the end by your own performance, but the performance and the prayer of your spiritual master is added, and that helps a lot, obviously. You know, when they look at our case, they also see the prayer of the spiritual master. So, okay, then, yes, let this one go back to Godhead. Although we're not perfect, but because you get a prayer of a pure devotee, then that helps a lot. But still, we have even the spiritual master, you know, he can pray and pray, but if we don't cooperate, if we don't want to follow anything, yeah, then we may have to take another birth, because that independence is there. So if even initiated so many times, we can still misuse our independence, and if we do, yeah, then maybe we have to take another birth. And like Prabhupada said, Harikesh told this, you know, and he said that he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said to this one devotee, he said, I've been trying to deliver you for 600 lifetimes. When will you get serious? Like, what a statement. What a statement. Yeah, think about that. So that was something. It's a mind blower. I've been trying to deliver you for 600 lifetimes. So that says something. Spiritual master will keep on trying, but we can misuse our independence. We must cooperate. That's why Prabhupada said, he has had so many lives where you could do what you wanted. Please give this life to me. This one life you give to me. Just this one life. Give to me. Then you go back to God. Okay. We thank you very much. This was my last lecture this time here in Melbourne, because tomorrow I have no more time. So thank you so much. It was lots of fun being here.
Yeah.